Today's daf is Beit Daf Lamed Vav. Now we are at the two dots, 18 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Vav Omer Aleph Umechasin Es HaPeiros. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Chaim Aaron ben Fega, Etta Malka bas Miriam, and Tamar bas Chasida from Rivka. So we're continuing to discuss the halachos of Yontif here in Masechtas Beya. Yesterday, at the end of the daf, we began the fifth and final perek of the Masechta. And the perek began with halachos related to peiros on Yontif. The first halacha of the Mishnah was, if somebody has peiros, they're on his roof, it's starting to rain, and he's afraid that the rain is going to ruin his peiros. The question is, can he bring his peiros into his house, or can he not? Why would you think he shouldn't be able to do it? Because it involves tircha. And perhaps the tircha yisera that would be necessary for him to exert in order to save his peiros is something that Chazal didn't allow the person to do on Yontif. So the Mishnah said it depends. If he has a skylight and he can be either mashilin or mashchilin or whatever other synonym that the Gemara gave for that, meaning he can just drop it through the skylight, then it's going to be okay. Because in that case, it actually doesn't involve that much tircha. If, however, he's going to have to bring it into his house in any other way, then the halacha is, it's not going to be okay. The next halacha in the Mishnah was, U'machasem peiros bekelim mipnei hadelef. If there's a leak, and the water is landing on peiros, which again is going to ruin the peiros. So the halacha is, the person's allowed to, on Yontif, be mechasa the peiros, to protect it from the leak. V'chein kadei yayin, v'kadei shemen, the Mishnah said. The same is true if he has jugs of wine or jugs of oil, and again, it's leaking, he wants to protect the wine and the oil from the leak. The halacha is, he'd be allowed to carry something on Yontif to cover it. And again, why would you think he should not be able to? Because of tircha. So you would have thought because of the tircha, maybe it's something he's not allowed to do. Says the Mishnah, Mechasim peiros bekelim v'pnei adelef, v'chein kadei yayin v'kadei shemen. So the Gemara begins with a comment that Ula made on that line of the Mishnah. Amar Ula, Ula the Amayra said, v'afilu avira delivni. The Mishnah said that you can be mechasim peiros bekelim. The Mishnah said you can be mechasim kadei yayin and kadei shemen on Yontif. Said Ula, lav dafka, those things. But even if a person would have a row of bricks and he would want to cover the row of bricks to protect it from a leak, the halacha is that something he'd be allowed to do. Rabbi Yitzchak said no. Peiros haruyin. When the Mishnah said umachasin es haperos, it meant dafka peiros. If, however, you want to cover something else, it's not going to be okay. Meaning, if you want to carry something to cover a row of bricks, you can't do that on Yontif. And the Gemara says, v'azer Rabbi Yitzchak litameh, this statement that Rabbi Yitzchak made on our Mishnah is really Rabbi Yitzchak l'shitas. Rabbi Yitzchak said, ain't clean nital, elo l'davra anita. You're not allowed to carry something for something that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So we're familiar with the laws of Muktzah. You're not allowed to carry something that's Muktzah. Something that's Muktzah, you are allowed to carry. Rabbi Yitzchak, however, has a very big chiddush in the world of Muktzah. And that is, you're not allowed to carry something that's not Muktzah if the reason you're carrying it is for something that is Muktzah. So said Rabbi Yitzchak, a row of bricks are Muktzah. Being that it's Muktzah, you can't carry something that's not Muktzah if the reason you're carrying that not Muktzah thing is to protect the thing that's Muktzah. So just like you can't carry the row of bricks, you wouldn't be able to carry something to protect the row of bricks. This sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak is mentioned in the first sugya of Muktzah in Shas, which is in Perakira in Masech the Shabbos, and the Gemara over there discusses Shitas Rabbi Yitzchak in great detail. But says the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak that commented on the Mishnah and said, "Umechasim peiros, but peiros tafka." But if you would want to cover Avira the Livni, that wouldn't be okay. It's Rabbi Yitzchak l'shitasa, because Avira the Livni is Mukta. And just like you can't carry the Avira the Livni, you wouldn't be able to carry something to cover the Avira the Livni either. Regardless, in this first line of the Gemara, we have a Machloikis Amayram, a Machloikis Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak. The Mishnah said, U'machasim peiros bekelim. You're allowed to cover peiros on Yontif to protect it, mipnei adelef, from leaky water. Ula said, peiros lav dafka. Rabbi Yitzchak said, peiros dafka. Ula said Peiros Lav Dafka, because why should it be Dafka? As long as what I'm carrying is not Mukta, Chazal weren't worried about the Tercha. There's a Hefsid going on over here. As a result, I'd be allowed to carry it. Whereas Rabbi Yitzchak argued and said that being that you're carrying this thing to protect bricks, which in and of themselves are mukta, you're not allowed to carry something, even if that thing is not mukta, to protect something that's mukta. Says the Gemara, Tanan, the Mishnah, Seven, Chasanes, Aperis, Bekel. So let's just begin the analysis of this Machlokes HaMeirah by revisiting the line of the Mishnah. It says you're allowed to cover Peiros. Says the Gemara, Peiros didn't have your delivery in light. Doesn't the Mishnah itself sound a little bit more like Rabbi Yitzchak, not like Ula? According to Ula, you're allowed to even cover Avira the Livni. So then why would the Mishnah only say Mechasin Peiros? The Mishnah should have said even Mechasin Avira the Livni. Say a bigger Kiddush. Somewhere it says, no, who didn't feel Avira the Livni? Could be really the Mishnah meant even Avira the Livni. So why did the Mishnah say Peiros? Why did the Tani Reisha Mashilin Peiros? Because being that the Reisha, the Mishnah said that you're allowed to take Peiros and you're allowed to put it through your skylight to save it. Tana save an ami mechasen as a peiros. So therefore, the safe of the Mishnah also said mechasen as a peiros. The Reisha of the Mishnah mentioned peiros, so the safe of the Mishnah also mentioned peiros. Now, the Reisha of the Mishnah had to have said peiros. Why couldn't the Reisha of the Mishnah be Avira Delivni? So that's Pasha, because if someone has Avira Delivni on his roof and it starts raining, you wouldn't be able to take that Avira Delivni and put it into your house, because that Avira Delivni itself is Muktzah. And everybody agrees you can't carry something that's Muktzah. What we're discussing is, can I carry something that's not Muktzah to protect something else that is Muktzah? So from the fact that the Mishnah says Mechas and Peiros, that's not a Raya, neither here nor there. Says the Gemara, what about the next line of Mishnah? Mishnah says, you're allowed to cover Kadei Yayin and Kadei Shemen. Now Kadei Yayin and Kadei Shemen are not Muktzah. The jugs are not mukta, the wine is not mukta, the oil is not mukta. So again, it's mashma. The only time you're allowed to be mechasa is only something that's not mukta. But if the thing is mukta, you wouldn't be allowed to cover it. The Gemara says, no. Maybe we're talking about where the wine and the shemen is tevel. If they're tevel, they're mukta. So maybe that's what we're talking about. Says the Gemara, meaning at first glance, to say that the wine and the oil of the Mishnah is mukta sounds like an akimta. But the Gemara says it's not an akimta. It's a good dichui. And in fact, it's actually mashma that way. Because if you get to tell me that the Yayin and the Kadesh Shemen of the Mishnah is talking about regular Yayin and regular Shemen, Hatanele Reisha Peiros. So what's the Chiddush? The Mishnah said Mechasen Peiros, and then the Mishnah said Vechein Kadesh Yayin Vekadesh Shemen. What is the Chiddush of Yayin and Shemen? If you're allowed to cover Peiros, why would you think wine and Shemen is different? So the Gemara says, you know what, it's Mashma? Hachinami Mistabra? It sounds a lot like the Chiddush of Ula, which is that Kadei Yayin and Kadei Shemen is talking about where it's Mukta, and that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that not only are you allowed to be Mechasa something that's not Mukta, but you're allowed to be Mechasa something that's Mukta as well. But the Gemara says no. La'olam, I'll tell you, Kadei Yayin and Kadei Shemen is talking about where it's not Mukta, because you're only allowed to cover something that's not Mukta, like Rabbi Yitzchak. What's the Kasha? So why did the Mishnah mention Kadei Yayin and Kadei Shemen? Once it says Mechasa and Peiros, so of course Mechasa and Kadei Yayin and Kadei Shemen, there's no difference. The Gemara says not true. Kadei Yayin and Kadei Shemen, it's three Chalei, there is a Chiddush. So I mean, I would have thought, maybe to cover Peiros, which involves a large Hefsid, there Chazal allowed you to do this Tircha on Yontif. However, to cover Kadei Yayin and Kadei Shemen, which doesn't involve a large Tircha, there you would have thought maybe it's not okay. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush, that you're even allowed to cover Kadei Yayin and Kadei Shemen. Tanan, another Raya from a Mishnah. And this Mishnah, was the last line of the Mishnah, which says, Noisen Kli Tachas Hadelef B'Shabbos. You're allowed to move a Keli to put it underneath a leak. So there's a leak, it's Shabbos even, not just Yontif. You're allowed to move a keli to protect the floor to catch the water. Now the assumption is that the water that's leaking is mukta. So if the water that's leaking is mukta, so l'chura, what you're then doing is you're being metalta something for a davar mukta. How are you allowed to do that? So the Gemara says, b'dala feroi. Maybe we're talking about with the water that's leaking is not mukta. It's water that you can drink. It's water that's functional. It's not mukta. Tashma, I'll bring you another right. Person machzelas al gabi levein b'shabbos. You're allowed to take a mat and cover bricks on Shabbos. Bricks are mukta. You're allowed to cover bricks with a mat on Shabbos. You're being metalta something that's not mukta, but you're doing it to service something that is mukta. How are you allowed to do that? So the Gemara says, Dayata Mibinyan. We're talking about not ordinary bricks, but rather bricks that were left over, meaning this person set out to build something and then he had leftover bricks. Those bricks are not mukta, the chazi lemizga alayo, because he could sit on them. There are things he could do with those bricks. So ordinarily, bricks are mukta, but sometimes they're not mukta. Hacha b'mayaskinon, that
halach is talking about where they were. Mukta Tashma, another right. Person machtzeles al gabi avonah b'Shabbos. You're allowed to take a mat and you're allowed to cover stones on Shabbos. Stones are for sure mukta. So you see again, I'm allowed to carry something on behalf of something else, even if that something else is mukta. The Gemara says, no, we're not talking about stones that are mukta, but ba'avana mikruzolos. We're talking about pointy stones, the chazi in the Beis HaKiseh. It can be used in the Beis HaKiseh. People used to clean themselves in the Beis HaKiseh using avana mikruzolos. Those avanim are not mukta, and that's the stones that we're referring to. Tashma, another raya. Person machzeles, agabi kaveres, the way a person's allowed to take a mat, and he's allowed to cover a beehive, b'Shabbos, on Shabbos, b'chamne achamo. He can do it during the summer if he wants to protect the beehive from the sun. He can do it during the winter to protect the beehive from the rain. He just has to make sure that he doesn't have in mind to trap the bees. But as long as he doesn't have in mind to trap the bees, he's allowed to do it. What's the kasha? Forget about seida. Forget about trapping the bees. The beehive is mukta. So how are you allowed to carry machatzeles to cover the beehive? You're being metaltal something, which granted is not mukta, but you're doing it on behalf of something that is mukta. So the Gemara says, Hasam Nami, you have to say that it's talking about not just an ordinary beehive, but the ikadvash. There was honey in the beehive. And because there's honey in the beehive, so the beehive is actually not mukta. It's not mukta, that's why you're allowed to carry the machatzos. Amalei Rav Ukva, mi meishon l'ravashi. It's Rav Ukva, mi meishon l'ravashi. Hoteirich b'meisach chamad ikadvash. During the summer, beehives have honey in them. But b'meisach shamim, during the winter, they don't have honey. What are you going to say there? L'chur, there's no honey in the winter time. And still, you see, you're allowed to carry the machatzos. To cover the beehive, l'chur the beehive is mukta. So the Gemara says, there were always two honeycombs that were left in the beehive, even during the winter. Those two chalos, the Gemara is assuming now, for the moment, are not mukta. And as a result, you're allowed to carry the machzelis, not to cover the beehive. You're right, the beehive itself is mukta. And Rabbi Yitzchok says, ein klin nitel, ela lidover anitel b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to carry something for something that itself you're not allowed to carry. But over here, you're carrying it not for the beehive. You're carrying it for the shtei chalos, and the shtei chalos are not mukta. But the Gemara says, not true. Isn't shtei chalos mukta saying? Those honeycombs were designated for the bees. You yourself don't have in mind to use them. The bees are going to enjoy them, which means that it's mukta. You yourself are masiyach das from it. So zok the Gemara, even if the shtei chalos are there, the shnei chalos themselves are mukta. So the Gemara says, hocha mayaskino shechisha v'alehim. It's talking about where you had a machshava before Shabbos that you're going to use it. The bottom line is that this halacha that says that you're allowed to be poires, a machzeles, on top of a beehive on Shabbos, really does not contradict Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha that says that you're not allowed to carry something for something that's mukza. Ay, lochura, the beehive is mukza. The teretz is, it's talking about this honey, and you're doing it for the honey, says the Gemara. The Braisa said, during the summer, during the winter. In the winter, there's no honey. No, there's two chalos of honey. Those two chalos are for the bees. It's weiter mukta. It's talking about where you had a machshav. I mean, it's an ikimta. The ikimta is, there were two chalos, and you had a machshav, that you're going to benefit from those two chalos. Then not mukta. That's where you're allowed to be peiros the machzel. So the Gemara says like this. So basically, the only time you're allowed to do this is if you make an ikimta. Meaning, there were beehive, there were honeycombs. You had a machshava that you yourself were going to use the honeycombs, and it's for that reason you're allowed to do it. But if you didn't make this ikimta, so for example, you didn't have a machshava that you yourself are going to use these honeycombs, my, what's the halacha also? So then it would be also, you wouldn't be able to be paris machzel. So the Gemara asks a nice kasha. So if that's the case, the Braisa gave an example of when this wouldn't be okay. Meaning, person machzeles to cover a kiveres devoir, but not always, only sometimes. Bryce said you could do it during the summer, you could do it during the winter, but when is it not okay? Ubavad, what do you have to be aware of? Shaloy yischavin lots. You just have to make sure that you don't have any kavana to do tzeda. So the Gemara says, ah, the tani ubavad shaloy yischavin lots. If the Bryce wanted to tell me an example of when it's not okay to do this, why did the Bryce have to come up with a case where you had kavana to do tzeda? Liflay velisni bedida. You don't have to jump so far. You could stay more local. This is what the The only time it's okay to cover the beehive with the machzeles is if it's not mukso, which means you had a machshava that you're going to use the honeycomb. But if you didn't have the machshava, aser. In that case, it's going to be aser. So the Gemara says, true, it could have said that, but hachikomer, this is what the Braisa wanted to say. Even if you had the machshava, meaning, you're right, in theory, the Braisa could have said that. Because the only time you're allowed to be paris machzeles from a mukta perspective, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, is going to be in the event that you had a machshava, that that you don't want the honey to be mukta. But the Braisa wanted to say a different chiddush, that even in the event that you did have a machshava that it shouldn't be mukta, still there's something you have to be careful of. And that is, you have to make sure, ubavad shlo yischav, and lotzis don't have kavana to do tzeda. Because if you're going to have kavana to do tzeda, so then the halacha is, you're going to run into another problem. Freik the Gemara Akasha. We're going to digress now a little bit. So we mentioned this Braisa related to the beehives, so the Gemara is going to discuss it for a moment. B'maya kimta, Rav Yehuda Dislay Mukta. Says the Gemara, we were just making this Braisa regarding the beehive, according to Rav Yehuda, who's Islay Mukta. Now, how do you know that we were just making it according to Rav Yehuda, it's Islay Mukta? So Rashi explains. Because what was the point of this Tashma? Why are we talking about beehives right now? Because the Gemara mentioned the Chiddush of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak holds, ain't keli nitel, elu ledavra nitel b'shabes. That just like you're not allowed to be metalto mukta, you're also not allowed to be metalto something that's not mukta for something that's mukta. Fake the Gemara, you're allowed to take a machzelis, which is not mukta, carry it to cover a beehive, which is mukta. So you see, I could be metalto something on behalf of davar shel mukta. Now, if this braisa is going according to Rabbi Shimon, who's less like mukta, so there's no problem. So what's the kasha? That's Pashit Zok Rashi, that Rabbi Yitzchak, who said his chiddush of Ein Kli Nitel Elu Ladavra Nitel B'Shabbos, he only said it according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's Islay Mukta. But according to Rabbi Shimon, who's Leslay Mukta, there's no way he ever said this chiddush. So if that's the case, what's the grace of kasha over here? You have a kasha from a beehive, and you're making all these fancy ekimtas. Let it be a kasha. Aye, how's that possible? Hamani Rab Shimini, who's less like mukta. According to Rab Shimon, of course you can carry a machzelis to cover a beehive. The teretz is, for whatever reason, the Gemara wants this braisa to shtim according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's Islay Mukta. Says the Gemara, if the braisa is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's Islay Mukta, I have a problem. I have a problem with another sheet that's Rabbi Yehuda. So there's a major machloikis, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, in Masechta Shabbos, and as we saw in Masechta Beya, Mukta, no Mukta. Rabbi Yehuda is Islay Mukta, Rabbi Shimon is Islay Mukta. But there was another major machloikis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in Masechta Shabbos, and that is, if someone does a malacha, and there's a chance that what he's doing will end up being a Melech Shabbos. Meaning someone does a Maisa, and there's a possibility that the outcome of this Maisa is going to be a Melech. It's not guaranteed, but there's a possibility. Rav Shimon says, Mutter, you're allowed to go do a Lekatchila. No worries. Rav Yehuda says, Aser. Rav Yehuda says, you're not allowed to do it. Rav Shimon says, Mutter, because he holds Dovashen and Meschavet as Mutter. Rav Yehuda says, Aser. He holds Dovashen and Meschavet as Aser. Now, if it's a Psik Resha, if it's inevitable that as a result of what you're doing, a malacha will be done, then everybody holds you're not allowed to do it. Abaye v'rava, the amri travayu, moider Rav Shimon b'psik reisha v'lo yomas. But if it's not a psik reisha, there's only a chance that a malacha is going to happen by virtue of what it is you're doing. So there it's a machlekes Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. Says the Gemara, what did our braisa say? It said, Ema seifa ubavad shalai yischad and latzot. This person that takes the man and he covers the beehive has to make sure he doesn't have kavana to do tzeita. So the Gemara asked Rav Shimon. That's only a true statement according to Rav Shimon. To Amar Dovid Shein Meschav and Mutter. Who holds Dovid Shein Meschav and his Mutter? Because according to Rav Yehuda that holds Dovid Shein Meschav and his Aser, who cares that you didn't have kavana? Rav Yehuda holds Dovid Shein Meschav and his Aser. So the Gemara is asking a bomba kasha. Freak the Gemara, you're obviously trying to make this price to work according to Rabbi Yehuda. Who's Islay Mukta? Because if we are comfortable saying that the Braisa is not Rabbi Yehuda, rather it's Rabbi Shimon, then there's no kasha on Rabbi Yitzchak. Because it's true, Rabbi Yitzchak quotes, Ein Kli Nitel Elu Ladavra Nitel B'Shabbos, and it's true in the Braisa, you see, not that way, but it's Pach Rabbi Yitzchak only said his Alach in Rabbi Yehuda, and maybe the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon. Elamai, you want the Braisa to be Rabbi Yehuda. If you want the Braisa to be Rabbi Yehuda, Vazak the Braisa, Ubavachala Yischad and Latzer. Who cares if he doesn't have Kavana? Rabbi Yehuda holds, Dovah Shein Mischad and Azasar. So if there's a chance that a Malach is going to be done as a result of what you're doing, it should still be Aser. But the Gemara says, 1 second. You're telling me that Ubavachla Yischad and Latzer you would understand according to Rabbi Shimon. You just don't understand it according to Rabbi Yehuda Vatisbara. The Rabbi Shimon, and if it's Rabbi Shimon, it makes sense. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, I don't understand that line. Why? Because Vabayi Verov Adami Chavayu, Maid Rabbi Shimon Psikreisha Vala Yomos. Because this is a Psikreisha Lachaira. Because over here, if you're going to cover it with a Machzelis, isn't it inevitable then you're going to be taught? So what is the Gemara saying? Ubavachla Yischad and Latzer. Even if the price is Rabbi Shimon, who holds Dovah Shenim Ischad and his mutter. But still, it's a psik resha, and everyone's might a psik resha. So the Gemara says like this. You have to say, lo'olam kula Rabbi Yehuda. Really, the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. And again, the Gemara wanted the Braisa to be Rabbi Yehuda, for whatever reason, we don't know why, but the Gemara wanted the Braisa to be Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why it asked the kasha on Rabbi Yitzchak, and didn't simply say, hacha b'mayaskinon, maybe the Braisa is going according to Rabbi Shimon. But b'hacha b'mayaskinon, you have to make an akimta, meaning, how could it be, ubavad shalo yischavin, Rabbi Yehuda holds, davashenim yischavin is aser. And by the way, even if Rabbi Shimon was the time of the Braisa, It's a psik reisha. So what does it mean, uvavach lo yischaven? The Gemara says, the ispe kavi. It's talking about where there were windows, there were openings inside this beehive. And because there are openings, so it's not inevitable that you're going to be trapping the bee. And what the Bryson then is saying is, v'loy temo l'Rab Yehuda u'bavach lo yischaven lotzot. The Braisa doesn't mean don't have kavana, as in mitzvah striches kavana, as in dover she'enem ischavin, as in hinini muchan abzuma. That's not what it means. Ela'ema, what it means is ubavachala yasena mitzuda. What it means is just make sure you don't make a trap. Meaning it's not inevitable it's going to be a trap because there's some openings. It really depends on how you cover it. And what the Braisa is saying is make sure you cover it in a way where it's not going to be trapped. Because if it's going to be trapped, Rabbi Yehuda holds dover she'enem ischavin, so it really doesn't matter if your kavana is to trap, and it's be a psikresha anyways, but just make sure that in your mind, you are sensitive to not trap it, and as long as you do that, it's going to be fine. So the Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. You need the Braisa to say that? You need the Braisa to tell me, don't trap the bee? Why would you think you could trap the bee? It's tzeda. It's one of the lamites malachas. So the Gemara says, in the world of tzeda, in the world of tzad, in the world of that malach, there's actually a chiddush. Because I would have thought, but minei natsud asish, shlavi minei natsud mutter. Maybe the only time this is to trap an animal is if it's a type of animal that people trap. People hunt these animals. But the bee, nobody really traps. As a result, you wouldn't have thought it's a problem. Kamash malon, that's the chiddush. That's what we're coming to say, that the halacha is that really it's going to be a problem. But the bottom line is, we brought this whole discussion regarding the beehive because we're discussing the machloikis Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Achidish ein keili nito, ela ledovra nito b'shabes. That just like you're not allowed to be metal to something that's mukta, very important halacha, you're not allowed to be metal to something that's not mukta if you're being metal to it to service on behalf of something that's mukta. The Gemara asked a bunch of questions, and this last question that we've been discussing is, the Gemara asked from a braisa. The braisa said, somebody has a beehive, and in this beehive, there are bees and honeycombs. The halacha is, you're not allowed to take a machatzeles and cover it. You can't do it during the summer. You can't do it during the winter. And the Gemara's kasha was, l'chayr the beehive is mukta. And the Gemara says, well, you have to say that there was dvash. So the Gemara, what about in the winter? There's no dvash in the winter? There were two chalois. Two chalois are mukta. So the Gemara says it's talking about where you prepared it, and because you prepared it, it's for that reason it's going to be okay. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi said, now it's not clear where Ravashi is going back on, right? We said a lot of things. So what's Ravashi going back on? So we need help from Rashi. Rashi says Ravashi is going back to comment on the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara had a problem that if you want to tell me that the beehives are not mukta because there's honey inside the beehive, that's all good during the summer, where there was actually honey in the beehive. But apparently during the winter, it wasn't shchiach that there was honey there. So what then would make it not mukta? So what was the Gemara's teretz? The Gemara's teretz was the shtei chalos. The Gemara had a problem with that. Those shtei chalos are mukta. Ravashi had a different teretz to that kasha. He said, miktani b'moysach chamu b'moysach shalom. Where does it say in the braisa that you're allowed to cover the beehive during the summer, during the winter? Had it said b'yemoisach chama and b'yemoisach shama, it would mean summer and winter respectively. What it says is b'chama u'bikshamim. B'chama means mipneach chama. U'bikshamim is mipneach shama ketani. It means when the sun is out and when it's raining. But really, b'yoymi nisim, b'yoymi tishrei. But it's all during the summer months. It's from Nisan through Tishrei. During those times, there's chama, there's kshamim, the kedvash, there's also honey. But during the dead of the winter, where there's no honey, could be this halacha, wouldn't be true. No way, kimtas, it's not pechishev aleyem. It answers some of the kashas the Gemara had in Amud Aleph. So Rav Ashi said, that's what the teretz would be. Regardless, this concludes the very first part of the daf, and that is the machloikis Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak, when the Mishnah says, mechasim peiros bekeilu b'nei adel. So it's leaking. And you have peiros that are going to get ruined. You have kadeh yayin, kadeh shemen are going to be ruined. The Mishnah says, don't worry about tircha and yontif. You're allowed to cover those things. Now, those things, l'chura, were not mukta. What about if the thing you want to cover is mukta? Would it be a problem or not? Ula says, no, doesn't matter. Even avira, the livni, you would be able to cover. Rabbi Yitzchak said, it's big chiddush, ein kli nito, ela ledavar hanito b'shabbos. The Mishnah said, v'noisim kli tachas adala b'shabbos. If there's a leak, you're allowed to take the keli, put it underneath the leak on Shabbos. Tanu, we learned to the brice, im nismalah keli. If the keli that you filled up with the leaky water got filled up, shayfech, you're allowed to pour it out, v'shayna, rinse and repeat, literally. V'ena nimna, and it's not something that you have to hold back from doing, this is something that you're allowed to do. Zok the Gemara, b'erechaya, da'abaya, dolof. There was once a leak, on Yontif, that was affecting the Rechayim, the mill of Abaya. Also, the Kami the Rabbis. He went to his Rabbi Rabba, Amalei, and he asked Rabbi, what should I do? I'm going to lose my mill. So my Rechaim is about to get ruined. So Rabbi told him, I have an idea. He said, Zil Ayli Lepuri Yech Lahasam. Take your bed and put it next to your Rechaim. The Lahavi Kegrav Shel Rei. Now you're going to want to go to sleep there. Wink, wink. It's going to be hard because it's going to be very uncomfortable there. The Rechaim is going to be disgusting. It's all muddy now. And once it's a Graf Shel Rei, the halacha is, you're allowed to move it. So he said, you'll move your Rechaim. It's going to be muktza. Fafke, and you can just get rid of it. Meaning the halacha is that if you have something that smells, right? The most classic example is a baby's diaper, which theoretically on every level should be muktzah. But at the same time, you're allowed to move it. Why? Because it's a graf shel rei, it's nishkishmak. And as a result, it's something that you're allowed to move. So Rabbi gave Abai this etzah. He told him, take your bed, move it next to the Rechaim. Now the Rechaim will be a graf shel rei. You'll be able to move the graf shel rei. So the Gemara says, Yosef Abaya. So Abaya heard what Rabbi told him. He was bothered by it. He said, V'chi oisin graf shel rei l'katchilo. I know there's a concept of a graf shel rei. I'm going to move my bed to render my Rechaim a graf shel rei. Are you allowed to make a graf shel rei l'katchilo? So the Gemara says, Ad hachi, as Abaye was pondering this question on what Rabbi said, Nafal Beirechai da Abaye. The whole Beirechayim of Abaye fell down. Omar, Abaye said, Tesili, I deserve. What happened? To Avri Adamar. Because I didn't have the proper respect for the Rebbe, for what Rabbi said. Rabbi told me I could do it. Why was I questioning him? I should have listened. If he said I could do it, I should have done it. And because I hesitated, and because I showed a lack of respect for the psak of Rabbi, that's why I got this punishment. Apparently, it came at a big financial loss. And Abaye said he understands why it happened. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Graf shel rei, the abit shel mei raglayim. So the graf is to rei what the avid is to mei raglayim, or vice versa. But the point is that this is something that people used to usually go to the bathroom in. So the halach is mutal leitzin lash, but you let him move it. Why? Because again, that's this concept of graf shel rei. When you return it, noisim emayim. Meaning, you're allowed to move a graf shel rei, this toilet. The reason is because it's disgusting. But once you empty it and you clean it out, if you want to bring it back into your house, now what's the heter to move it? The thought is that it's still disgusting. And as a result, it should be mukta, but at the same time, you don't have the svara that it's inconveniencing anybody. If there's a graf shel rei in an area that people are in, so you understand why you're allowed to move it. It's muktzah, but that's fine, but you're allowed to move it anyway. But once you moved it, so at that point, what gives me a right to bring it back? So Shmuel said, you really don't have a right. And you have to come up with an eitzah to do it. So he said, fill it up with water, umachziroi, and then you'll bring it in agav the water. Meaning you're not bringing in the graf shel rei, I'm bringing in the water that's in the graf. Oh, now I'm allowed to do it. Sokta Gemara, savar mina, graf shel rei in, agav mana in, bifnei atzmoi, loi, the chachamim thought that when you're allowed to move a graf shel rei, it means you only let him move the proverbial toilet. But what's inside the toilet, the tsoya itself, the meir glaim itself, that's for sure off limits. But the Gemara says, Tashma, it's not true. There was a mouse. Deshnakach be'as parkim mid Ravashi. It was by the besomim of Ravashi. Only Ravashi told his oilam, naktu bitzutzisa, grab it by its tail vafkua and pull it out. So you see that if there's something disgusting, you don't have to take it out agav the graf, but you're actually allowed to hold the actual disgusting thing and you're allowed to remove it. So we're going to start, emphasis on start, this next sugya right now. This next mishnah that we're about to learn is a classic. It's hafachba, the hafachba, the kulaba. And again, we'll just make a haschal. Zok the mishnah. Kol shechayoven olav, mishum shvus, mishum reshus, mishum mitzvah, b'shabbos, chayoven olav b'yantav. So the opening line of this Mishnah feels like it can use a comma or two, but it's a little bit ambiguous. But if you look in Rashi and the Gemara, we'll see more about it in the Gemara tomorrow. What the Mishnah is saying as follows, is that anything that you're not allowed to do midrabanon on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to do midrabanon on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do lametes melachas on Shabbos, you can't do lametes melachas on Yom Tov, with the exception of oichel nefesh. The same is true on a Rabbanon level. So anything that you're not allowed to do midrabanon on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to do midrabanon on Yom Tov. But the Mishnah, rather mysteriously, takes all the things that you're not allowed to do midrabanon on Shabbos and divides it into three categories. There's what the Mishnah refers to as shvus, what the Mishnah refers to as reshus, and what the Mishnah refers to as mitzvah. Again, we'll see it in the Gemara tomorrow. Shvus means something that is a completely arbitrary act. It doesn't involve a mitzvah. It doesn't involve something that even resembles a mitzvah. It's a davar shel, what you would think is a reshus. Something that is not a davar shel mitzvah at all. Rishus over here means something that's a mitzvah. However, it's not obligatory, but it's a dover shel mitzvah. Mitzvah is something that is obligatory. It's something that you absolutely, positively have to do. So says the Mishnah, if there's an issa derabbanan, and this thing that I'm not allowed to do is either a shvos, it's a regular prosta ma'isachol, or it's a rishus, which means it's a dover shel mitzvah, but I don't have to do it. Or it's a mitzvah, it's a real bona fide mitzvah. Either way, if I can't do this thing on Shabbos, I also can't do this thing on Yom Tov. The Mishnah goes ahead and gives examples. So what's examples of shvos? Not allowed to go on a tree. Not allowed to ride a behemoth. Not allowed to swim. Not allowed to swim. Not allowed to clap. Not allowed to dance. Not allowed to clap. Not allowed to clap. Not allowed to dance. These are all things that don't involve mitzvah. There's no tzad mitzvah. All it is a regular act. You're not allowed to do them on Shabbos. The Gemara will say, why? You're not allowed to do the Mayan Tefid. What are examples of things that are Rishos? Loi Donim. You're not allowed to pass in a Shaila. V'loi Mekachin. No Kedushin, as in Ha'isha Niknes. V'loi Choyltsin. No Chalitz. V'loi Miyabne. No Yibum. V'loi Mishu Mitzvah. The following examples of mitzvahs. Loi Makdishin. You can't make something hektish. V'loi Marichin. You can't make Erichin. V'loi Machrimin. Cherim is a type of hektish. V'loi Magbiyin. Truma Meiser. You're not allowed to be Mavish. Truma is a Meiser. Kolei Leba Yantif Amru. These are all things you're not allowed to do on Yantif. Kal V'chaymer B'Shabbos. Certainly not on Shabbos. The Mishnah started saying you can't do it on Shabbos, therefore you can't do it on Yantif. And then the Mishnah concludes you can't do it on Yantif. Certainly you can't do it on Shabbos. We need some help here. Ein Bein Yantif L'Shabbos. And then finally the Mishnah ends with the epic words. There's no difference between Yantif and Shabbos. Elo Eichel Nefesh Bovad. On Yantif, you're allowed to do Malachas Eichel Nefesh. On Shabbos, you're also not allowed to do Malachas Eichel Nefesh. So again, what's the theme of the Mishnah? Any Issur D'Rabbanan on Shabbos is also an Issur D'Rabbanan on Yantif. The Mishnah, for whatever reason, took all the Issur D'Rabbanan and divided them into three groups. What the Mishnah refers to as Shvus, Rishus, and Mitzvah. It's very important. Shvus means completely arbitrary, going up on a tree. Whatever. It's something you want to do. That's your prerogative. Can't do it on Shabbos. You also can't do it on Yontif. Then there's something that's called Rishus. Rishus is something that's a mitzvah, but it's not something you have to do. It's Korov Leo's Dvar Rishus, Rashi says. And then you have mitzvah, which is something that you absolutely have to do. So the Gemara is going to go through all of them. You're not allowed to go on a trip. That was an example of a shvu, something that's not a mitzvah. It's not even a half a mitzvah. It's not even karev to be a mitzvah. It's a 100% davar shel rishus. It's what the Mishnah refers to as shvus. A little confusing. But you're not allowed to go on a tree on Shabbos. You can't go on a tree on Yontif. Why not? Because Zerushem Yitlish is a concern. You may rip off a branch. Another example of shvus. You're not allowed to ride on an animal. Zerushem Yitzchotzotchom. Gzeir, that if you're on the animal, right, the animal, the horse might start galloping, and before you know it, you're going to be outside the tchum. This must be a right. Tchum is deraisa. Favos. Because if tchum is derabanan, you're going to make a gzeir, don't do something. Atu, you may do something else that's an issa derabanan. We don't make gzeirois ligzeirois. We make a gzeir to protect from a deraisa. You don't make a gzeir to protect from a derabanan. So if tchum is deraisa, don't go on an animal, because you may end up outside the tchum. But if tchum is derabanan, so Gemara says, if you tell me the reason not to be reichel on an animal is because of tchum, isn't that a right? Tchumen is Da'irai. Zemar says, no, don't bring Da'irai. El Gzeira Shemayach Da'ich Zemayra. There's a Gzeira that you may end up ripping a branch because you want to hit the animal, maybe to get it to move faster. So just like there's a Gzeira Shemayitloish, and that's why you're not allowed to go on a tree, there's a similar Gzeira Shemayach Da'ich Zemayra, and that's why you're not allowed to ride on an animal. V'loi Shoten Al Pnei Amayim. You're not allowed to swim. On Shabbos, you're also not allowed to swim on Yontif. Gzeira Shemayasa Chavish Al Shayotim. Because we're afraid that you may make some sort of container that's going to help you swim. The proverbial tube. So you're afraid you may make something that's going to help you get around in the water. That would involve making a keli, maybe. But the point is, that's something you're not allowed to do. Therefore, you're not even allowed to swim. V'lei metapchin, v'lei mesafkin, v'lei merakt. You're not allowed to clap. Not with your hands, you're not clap your hands on your thighs, you're not allowed to dance. What's the reason? Because we're afraid that if you're going to dance, you're going to play music, the musical instrument is going to break, you're going to fix the musical instrument, that's masakimana, that's something you're not allowed to do. The Elohim Yishum Rishos, and the Mishnah said the following are examples of things that you're not allowed to do with the Rabbanah. It just so happens, these are Dvarim Shal Rishos, meaning they're mitzvahs, but like quasi-mitzvahs, loitonim. First thing is, you're not allowed to paskin a shayla. Frank the Gemara, why is paskinning a shayla a quasi-mitzvah? Why is it a rishus? That's a mitzvah. If someone comes to you, he asks you to paskin a shayla, assuming you're qualified, you would think you do a mitzvah, talmud Torah, you're doing a chesed, there's an inyan of dayonim, dinim, it's one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei nayach. Why is this not a mitzvah? So the Gemara says, like, tzricha de'ikad adav minei. It's talking about where there were people more qualified than you to paskin the shayla. So it's a shtickle of mitzvah, but being that you don't have to be the one to do it, And by the way, the other guy is actually more qualified, so therefore we don't look at it as a mitzvah. You're not allowed to get married on Shabbos or Yontif. And that too is an example of something that's a quote-unquote reshus, which means quasi-mitzvah. Freak the Gemara. Kiddushin is a quasi-mitzvah. For a mitzvah ka'ovet. How can only be a little bit of a mitzvah? That's a regular mitzvah. Zok the Gemara. Le'tzricha de isle isho banim. It's talking about where this person is already married. He has a wife. He has children. He was mekayim the mitzvah pru revuzak rashi. And as a result, there's no mitzvah for him right now to go ahead and to get married. There's no mitzvah for him to be married. He already has a wife. He already has children. As a result, what is it? It's a reshus. It's a quasi mitzvah, but they call it a regular mitzvah that you wouldn't be allowed to do. Mishnah then said loy chayotzin v'loy miyab. And again, that was an example of something that's not a mitzvah. Freik the Gemara, yibum and chalitza are not mitzvahs, but mitzvah ka'avet. There's a parak in Shas called mitzvahs chalitza, and as it relates to yibum, yivam miyab yalav. Of course, it's a mitzvah. So the Gemara says leitzvichet ikigadol. It's talking about where there were several brothers, and this person who wants to do the yibum v'chalitza is not the oldest brother. Mitzvah begadol yap, Yivamis 101. The mitzvah is for the oldest brother to do the yibum, and for the oldest brother to do the chalitza. So being that, even though it's a mitzvah, but really you're not the one that's supposed to be doing it, so therefore we view it not as a mitzvah, but that, rather we view it as a rishus. But says the Gemara, v'kulu tamamai. You're not allowed to paskin a shayla on Shabbos v'yontif. You're not allowed to get married on Shabbos v'yontif. You can't do chalitza, you can't do yibum. Break the Gemara, why not? What's wrong? What's the problem with doing all these things? Says the Gemara, gzeir shem yichtav. The reason Chazal said you can't do it is because they were concerned that you may go and you may write. The dayan were afraid he may write the psak din. The person getting married, he may write a shtar erisin lekedushin, says Rashi. And the person that's doing chalitza may write a shtar chalitza. The Yava may write a ksuba, but there's ksiva involved in all these transactions. And gzeira shem yichtav, Chazal said, loy donin, loy mekachin, loy choyltsin, v'loy miyabmin, exhale. So today's raid is going to focus, not surprisingly, on v'loy mekachin. So the Mishnah said that one is not allowed to be Mekadosh and Isha on Shabbos, one is not allowed to be Mekadosh and Isha on Yontif. And the Gemara asked the Kasha that in the Mishnah, getting married was categorized as being a davar shal rishos, something that's not necessarily a mitzvah. And the Gemara asked what seems to be a technical question, that why did we categorize v'loy mekachin as a dvar reshus for a mitzvah kavod? Isn't it a mitzvah? So the Gemara says, loy tzricha de islay isha ubanim. It's talking about where this person already has a wife, this person already has children, and because he has an isha ubanim, so therefore it's not a real mitzvah for him to go ahead and get married. What it is a shtikla mitzvah, and that's why it falls into the category of dvar reshus. If you take a look at Rashi, the top Rashi on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, so Rashi says, de islay isha ubanim. So what does that mean? Shnei zcharim lebeis shammai. According to beis shammai, it means he has two sons. Oy zachem in a cave of the beis hillel. Or according to beis hillel, he has a son and a daughter. In that instance, the sulei mifkad kulei hai. At that point, he doesn't have such a chiyuv anymore. Kedabrina beyivamnes. Umiu ksas mitzvah ikka. But at the same time, there is a little bit of a mitzvah. Kedabrina and Rashi quotes a pasuk in Koheles. Why there would still be a mitzvah for a person to be married, even if he already was mekayim the mitzvah of Peruvu. But Rashi says, what does it mean, the Islay Isha Ubanim? According to Beis Shammai, it means Shnei Scharim. According to Beis Hillel, it means Zachar and Akeva. I saw in the Sefer Chedvas Moshe, that's a Sefer that was written by Rav Moshe Blumberg. So he gave me a Sefer that he wrote on Masechtes Beyah, and he has a beautiful aura on this Rashi. He asked that, why did Rashi say that the Islay Isha Ubanim means two Scharim according to Beis Shammai, or Zochav in the cave of the Beis Hillel? Why is Rashi quoting Shitas Beis Shammai? It's Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel what the definition of the mitzvah Puravu is. According to Beis Shammai, two scharim. According to Beis Hillel, Zochav in the cave. By the way, what was Beis Shammai's raya? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have any daughters. He had Gershom, he had Eliezer. And it's Poshit said Beis Shammai that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mekayim the mitzvah. And by the way, he was Perish Meishtoi. So you see that he was Mekayim the mitzvah. So says Beis Shammai, clearly you could be Mekayim the mitzvah with two scharim. Beis Hillel argues. But at the end of the day, it's Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And we know the rule. Beis Shammai, B'mokim, Beis Hillel ain't a Mishnah. We don't really care in halacha what Beis Shammai says. So the Gemara says, that loy tzricha desle yishov banim. So tell your Rashi, you want to know halacha lemaisa what this means? Depends. If you hold like Beis Shammai, shnei scharim, like Beis Hillel, zacher nekeva. Who holds like Beis Shammai? Rashi should have said zacher nekeva. Ke Beis Hillel. It's a beautiful aura. So he stelt su the Yerushalmi in Perik Habal Yevimtoi, in the sixth Perik of Masechtas Yevamis, where the Yerushalmi says a very big chiddush. The Yerushalmi says that Beis Hillel never meant to argue with Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says he could be mekayim the mitzvah pur avu with two scharim. Beis Hillel agrees he could be mekayim the mitzvah with two scharim. Beis Hillel just added on Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel said that you don't need two scharim. You could be mekayim the mitzvah even with a zacher and a keva. As if to say there would have been a hava mina, you need two schar. That maybe you can't fulfill the mitzvah with a keva. Kamash malam Beis Hillel doesn't have to be two scharim. It can even be a zacher and a keva. But in the Yerushalmi, it's mavur that according to Beis Hillel, it's either two scharim or it's a zacher and a keva. So he said that according to the Yerushalmi, it's geshmak what Rashi said. Rashi said, "Loitzrichad is leisha ubanim." What does isha ubanim mean? There's two shitas. There's a shitas Beis Shammai that's shnei scharim, and there's a shitas Beis Hillel that's zacher and a keva. About filu shitas Beis Shammai have two scharim Beis Hillel agrees with. In other words, there's two ways in Beis Hillel's world to be mekayim the mitzvah. You can be mekayim with two scharim, and you can be mekayim with two nekevas. The truth is, we've spoken about this in the past. The ein kan mekayim laharech. And that is the Avnei Nezer in his first tshuva, it's Tzimin Aleph and Evan Ezer. So he says, Shamati me mechutani. He said, I heard from my mechutin, Hagoyin Rab Shiel Kutna. He told him that the Marit, Loi Hoyo Loi Rak Scharim. The Marit had a family, but he only had sons. He didn't have any daughters. V'loi Nasa Acheres Aleh. And the Marit lived in a land that wasn't under the Cherim of Rabbeinu Gershom, which means he could have married another wife. But he refused to do so. And they asked the Marit, that L'chura, if you only have Scharim, and you don't have the Kavis, L'chura, you have an obligation to be mekayim the mitzvah. You never had any daughters. So the Marit said that he's been soymech on the Yerushalmi. That the Yerushalmi says that even though Beis Hillel said Zachar Nekeva, but Beis Hillel's moided to Beis Shammai that he could be mekayim the mitzvah, which Nei Scharim. Now the Avnei Nezer says that I heard this from my Mechutin. He says, I'll tell you the truth. He didn't tell me where the Marit says this. He says, Ka'is, I haven't been able to find it. He says, I'll tell you the truth. Ainli p'nai l'chapes. I don't really have time. He tells the Shoyal that I'm giving you this Marimok. Maybe you know where I can find it. I'd love to see it in a Vayinik. But he says, either way, really, it's a chiddush to be soymech lahalacha on this Yerushalmi. But he says that he thinks the reason the Marit was soymech on is because it's mashma that way a little bit in the Zayar, ayin shum. But the bottom line is that we know it's machleis b'shayim b'sol. When the mitzvah puravu you mekayim with a zachar and a keva, Beis Shammai says he can be mekayim even with two scharim. Pashit, according to Beis Hillel, you can't be mekayim with two scharim. But there is a shita sa Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi says that Beis Hillel was just coming to be moisef on Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel was coming to say that not only two scharim, but even a zachar and a keva doesn't sound like the Yerushalmi that we hold lahalacha, but the Avnei Nezer in the Tshuva brings that he heard from his mechutin Rabbi Shul Kutna that the Marit himself was soymich on this halacha, and a beautiful la'ara from the Sefer Chedvas Moshe that Rashi says, Lo tzrichat isla ishu banu. What does it mean? Shnei scharim le Beis Shammai. Why is Rashi bringing Shitas Beis Shammai? Maybe this is a ktsas of a smach that even Shitas Beis Shammai has a little bit of bearing as it relates to halacha.